Hey, this is Mike Bobbitt. I'm a guy who used to make things, and sometimes I still do. These days, I prefer making podcasts, and I have a new one called Soundtrack to My Life. On this podcast, I talk to different creative people about the music that shaped them. Sometimes the conversations are funny, and sometimes they're just kind of sweet.
I love that Pina Colada song. Yeah, I do.
Rihanna has had a huge impact on my songwriting.
I'm diving into the ocean, finding that one fish that has the toxins, and I'm just drinking those toxins all day.
Maybe they're saying, like, you should now go forth and rock. It's like a peace be with you situation.
I also have a playlist called F-Jams. One into it, just in case.
We dance to a jazz version of My Favorite Things.
Soundtrack to My Life. It's available exclusive on Spotify. It's a exclusive. I'm going to try to make that word take off. It's a music plus talk show, meaning I can play songs in their entirety. So think of this as an interactive playlist with some of the coolest creative people I know, and you should know too. Soundtrack to My Life, a Spotify exclusive.
Hey, Graham.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
So far, so good.
Good. You ready to record?
I guess I can. I'm turning down the TV down to nothing.
Okay, perfect. All right, so I'll just ask you a couple questions, and you just answer them, and that'll be the show. So pretty simple.
Okay.
So how did you and Grandpa first meet?
Actually, we went to a Parents Without Partners dance.
And when was that?
Oh, in 1972.
1972. Okay. So Parents Without Partners is like a, that was like a singles dance for.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And tell me that story.
Well, I was just breaking up with a guy and my girlfriend said, good. She said, we'll go to the Parents Without Partners dance. Well, then that Saturday morning, I got up and I said, I called her and I said, Sandy, I can't go. I hate men. I can't go. She said, crying. I said, you know what? Hell, I'm going to go and dance and have a good time. And Grandpa was the first one I danced with. And I danced with him all night long. And that was the very start of it.
That's awesome.
We met in February and we got married in June.
Oh, wow. So a couple of months.
Right.
That's awesome. That's, yeah, I love that story so much. Especially the part about you saying that you're not going because you hated men. So,
yeah, right.
So there's a garage in Chesnang that still operates today, and that's called Ammon's Garage. That was once a Hunza dealership owned by August, who was my great grandpa, who is
right.
Ken's dad. Can you tell us, what do you know about great grandpa Augie and his love of Hudson's?
Oh, well, he had a Hudson, I guess, forever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he bought a 54, I think, new. I don't know how many he had before that. But anyway, Uncle Fred then bought the 54 from Grandpa.
Okay.
So it stayed in the family for many, many, many years.
Yeah.
Many years.
And that garage, they still have the garage. It's no longer a dealership. Do you know when the dealership closed?
In 54.
Okay.
Because great grandpa did not want to sell Nash's and stuff. So that's when the Hudson kind of developed, you know.
Yeah, in the first part of this this story, I guess I talked about how Nash and Calvinator and Hudson kind of all merged together. And that's mm-hmm. pretty much when the Hudsons kind of ceased to exist in a way. They stopped manufacturing them anyways. So
they made them after that, 55, 56, and 57s, and called them Hashes.
Oh, okay. Huh. Interesting. So do you know how old do you know how old Grandpa Ken was when he got his first Hudson?
Oh, like he said, about 16 years old.
That's what I thought, because I remember somebody at the funeral saying that he had one in high school. They told a story about, I think they told a story about, if I can remember correctly, being in high school and having a six-pack of beer.
Probably.
That's all I can really remember about the funeral. So, when did Grandpa start selling Hudson car parts?
Oh, well, we sold them for about 30 years, so, and he died in 2010, so 30 years before that.
Wow. So how many cars did he have when he, did he, I guess, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Did he start selling the parts first, or did he start selling cars first?
We bought a few parts first, and then we bought a car.
Okay, okay. Do you remember what the first car was that he bought?
31.
31, wow. So Grandpa didn't sell car parts only to Michiganders, correct? He sold them kind of all over the place.
Well, we shipped them all over the world, Ange.
Yeah. That's amazing. Do you think Grandpa sold car parts or cars to anybody famous?
No, that I don't have a clue.
Okay. I remember Jay Leno's people calling, looking for parts. Isn't that the story?
Yeah. And we might have sold some to Jay Leno. We might have.
That's so cool. Now, you also were the president of the Hudson Car Club. How long were you president for, and what were your duties with that?
For about 10 years.
Okay.
Nobody wanted the job.
Was it a difficult job?
No, but, you know, every year you say, okay, who would like to, we need to elect new officers. Everybody would just hang their head. You couldn't even look at anybody, you know?
So what sort of things were you responsible for with as being the president?
Well, just more or less, you know, connecting the meetings and stuff. And then we did what we call a regional and a national. The National Hudsons, there's four sections to the United States for the Hudson Club people. We were in the central region because we were in the central of U.S., you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so in 2010 was our last big Hudson meet. In Pontiac, Michigan. And it was 100 years, the Hudsons, from 2009 to 2000 to 2009. And I pre-registered 1,500 families.
Wow.
I mean, I was crazy when I got there.
How do you mean?
Just, you know, just hoping that nothing would fall apart, you know, and I didn't realize how sick Grandpa was when I took him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until we got there.
When was it that Grandpa started getting sick?
2009.
Okay, yeah. It wasn't very long between the time that he got sick and the time that he passed away. So,
1 year, exactly.
So for our listeners, Grandpa started getting sick, and God, it was so long ago, and it was, the whole situation is kind of traumatic, and so I've blocked out a lot of the memories, but he started getting sick, and we didn't really know what was going on. They thought he had leukemia. Right. His doctor thought maybe it was Lyme disease at some point.
Heart.
Thought it was his heart. So there was just all this stuff happening, and we didn't really know what was going on. And then we find out that he had myelofibrosis, which is a super rare cancer of the bone marrow, right?
Right, exactly.
So by the time we kind of figured out what was going on, it was too late, basically.
Yes.
Grandma and Grandpa paid for some experimental drugs to see if that would help, but he was so far into it at this point that there was really no saving him, unfortunately. So,
we went through the motion, and that's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, we did our best to prolong his life, but he was also in a lot of pain.
Yes.
You know, I know that, I don't remember when it was the last Hudson meet that he went to, but I remember it being kind of a big ordeal because he had to take the electric scooter. wheelchair scooter thing. And it was a lot of work, but thankfully he was able to go to one last meet before he passed away.
He wanted to go, and by golly, we made it happen.
Yep. Yep, that's the way we did it with Grandpa. He wanted something, and especially at the end there, we, you know, did our best to make sure that he was happy. But he did. He passed away in 2010, and that was crushing. Being part of the Hudson Car Club, you and Grandpa got the opportunity to travel all over the country. Do you have a favorite place that you guys went to?
Oh, well, of course, that was after Grandpa passed, but I'm going to say we enjoyed going to California. We flew to California 3 times.
Oh, okay. I guess I didn't realize that.
We flew to California 3 times for the Hudson National.
Very cool. Did you ever go out of the country with the Hudson Car Club?
Just to Canada.
Okay. Okay. I know you had friends from all over, but they came into the States then.
Exactly.
Like your friend from Peru.
Yeah, George comes into US for the Nationals.
And he always brings chocolate.
Always brings chocolate for us.
That's a good man. And then you guys also had friends. Didn't you have some friends from England?
Yes, we did. Lots of them.
It's crazy to me to think that the Hudsons that were made here in Detroit had such a big impact around the entire world.
Exactly.
It's just mind-blowing to me. I love it. So, how many fully restored Hudsons did Grandpa own at one time?
Oh, I'm going to say probably 7 or 8.
Okay. I was thinking 13 for some reason. I can't remember. I don't know where that number came from.
I don't think that many restored ones.
Okay.
But we probably have sold over 13 cars.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know we sold over 13 cars. And my grandpa passed away. He left me 5 cars yet.
And where did those cars go?
The 31 went to California with dual citizenship, California and Australia.
Oh, wow.
And the 31, that's the 30, okay, the 54, the 51 convertible just went to Indiana.
Okay.
And one of the 49 convertible, we had a pair of twins, 49s, one of them went to New York and the other one went to Florida. And the 47 pickup went to the Netherlands.
Wow. Now, was the 47, is that the one that was at the funeral?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Okay. I think I got the date wrong. I posted a photo of it on my Facebook page, and I think I got the date wrong, but I couldn't remember. I don't remember the cars by the dates. I just remember, like, by the colors or what they look like. Yeah. Yeah. So, aside from, as you said, you had twin 49 convertibles, and they were matching his and hers. Yeah. Aside from that one, did you have a favorite car?
I would say Ken's would have been the 31.
Okay.
First car he bought.
And which car was the 31? What color was that one?
The brown and tan.
Oh, yeah. I really like that one. That's the one that has, like, the basket seat thing on the back, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I love that one. That was one of my favorites, too. And obviously the pickup truck. I really like the pickup truck. In fact, I have a tattoo, and I posted it on the Facebook page. I have a tattoo of the 49 convertible.
Right.
And then I believe Nikki, my sister, for our listeners, she also has a memorial tattoo for Grandpa. And I believe hers is of the 47 pickup truck. I'm pretty sure.
Right now, I cannot tell you for sure. I can't remember, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I think hers is the 47. And then my oldest son, Jordan, also has a memorial tattoo for Grandpa, but it doesn't have a car. It's just the Hudson logo.
The
and a, yeah.
The Hudson emblem. Yes.
Yep. So are you going to get a tattoo, Grandma?
You know, I thought about it right after he passed, and I should have, but see, it's been 14 years, so I probably won't know.
No. Well, that's okay.
I definitely thought about it. I'm just getting a little one.
Yeah. Yeah. So some of my favorite memories are riding in the back of the matching convertibles, like in the Chesaning Showboat Parade. Nikki and I spent so many summers at car shows with you and Grandpa. I remember Grandpa always having cash money to give us so that we could go buy junk from other vendors.
Grandpa always had money.
Always had money. Yep. Yep. And he was very generous with it too. He always made sure that if we wanted something at those car shows, we pretty much got, we were kind of spoiled, I must say. Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. So what are some of your favorite memories of the cars, Graham?
Oh, going to different places and meeting the people. And then after you meet the people, you look forward to meeting, to seeing them again at the next car show.
Yeah.
I remember this one time, this couple from Australia gave me a t-shirt. So we went out to Wisconsin. They posted that they were coming. So the first day, I wore their t-shirt. Man, when she seen me, she hugged me and said, "Oh my God, Kay, I can't believe." I said, "When you knew you were coming," I said, "I put this with my husband's shirts to bring. Aww. I wanted to wear it, guys."
You've made a lot of friends with the Hudson Car Club.
Oh, we sure did, you know. And the Hudson Car Club were helping people. If your car wasn't running, they worked on your car to get it going.
Mm-hmm.
Other car clubs believe, "I don't want to work on your car because I don't want you to beat me." Because we never judged the Hudsons.
Mm-hmm.
We had people's choice. Like, if you come to the car show, you could vote on a piece of paper. Number 4, number 16, number 8, whatever you thought was. And everybody's was different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody likes something different, which is wonderful.
Grandpa won a lot of awards, though, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And he was also in the Flint Journal.
Yep.
They had a write-up of him in the Flint Journal. And didn't they also have one of his cars on display at the Sloan Museum in Flint?
He sure did. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's crazy. I love it. I'm... What was that?
We were invited to the St. Ignace show, you know, up in the Upper Peninsula. So we had to take both of the cars because we were invited as, you know, for the 49.
Mm-hmm.
And that was damn scary for me to drive that car over that bridge.
Oh, yeah. The bridge is...
I don't even, like, go over the bridge in a car, much less drive my own car over there.
When Marty and I were recording the first episode, the first part of this episode, we were talking about what it's like to drive a Hudson. And I said, well, they're huge cars, you know, but, and he asked if I had ever driven one. And I said, oh no, there's no way I could, you know, first of all, they're manual, they're stick shift. I could never. And then it's a column shifter on top of that.
Right.
But mm-hmm. I said, but my grandma can drive one. And, you know, it's just kind of funny how tiny you are and how big these cars are.
Well, you know what? I guess I made up my mind I was going to do it, and I did it.
Well, that's the way to do it.
You got to say, you know what? I can do this.
Yeah. But I can't imagine driving that thing over the bridge. Oh, my gosh.
Well, let me tell you, it was damn scary. And then I knew I had to come back across in a couple, 3 days. Oh, well.
Oh, that's funny.
I made it.
I'm kind of surprised that you guys drove the cars that far.
Oh.
Because that's such a long drive. And I remember Grandpa had told me at one point that that they overheated pretty easily.
Yeah.
So it seems just like it would be such a far drive all the way to St. Ignace. But, I mean, they made it.
We made it.
That's cool.
I guess if you have the determination, you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Plus, you got to remember, I was probably quite a bit younger. Today, driving a big old car over the bridge, there's no way.
Yeah.
You know.
Were they hard to drive?
Not really. No.
Okay.
But you got to remember, there was no power steering.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit too. He said there couldn't have been power steering. And I'm like, no, I don't think that there was. So,
definitely
be like.
Not.
Driving a bus.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Manual and everything, and you know.
How fast do they go?
Well, they would went 60, 65 miles an hour if you wanted them to.
I bet you guys got a lot of looks on the expressways.
Oh, we did. Yes, we really did. And we only took the expressway if we had to.
Yeah.
Because of the mile, how fast you could go.
Right.
And they could be looking at you and turn around and run right into you. You know,
yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine. Wow. Yeah. And I, you know, I have a lot of memories of being around the Hudson Car Club people, Robbie and Irene, you know, like you said, you made so many different friends, but they were people that you didn't just see during, you know, the Hudson meets. These were people that turned out to be like lifelong friends that you guys, you know, hung out with outside of Hudson meets. And
yeah,
it's just amazing. It feels like it's kind of a dying club.
Oh, because everybody's getting older, and you know, our kids, like you said, can't really afford to buy a Hudson and restore it and enjoy it.
Yeah, that's so sad. I'm going to be so bummed when they just disappear off the planet, because we have such a history with them.
One note I would like to make, though, for everybody: in June 2nd to the 4th. We're going to have a regional in Frankenmuth, Michigan.
Oh, really?
The very end.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad that there's another meet that's going to be so close that you can go to.
Oh gosh, me too.
I know you're not traveling a lot these days.
No, I don't want to get in a car and travel for 3 days to get to a meet anymore. I can't do it.
No, it's a lot.
Yep.
So June.
The national's going to be in Oregon.
Oh, that's wow, that's all the way across the country.
Yep, we went there once.
Did you?
Yes.
Very cool.
We've been all over one of the cars.
I know.
We didn't always take cars because we were in the parts business, so we took a truck and trailer full of parts.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So have you been to all 50 states?
I'm going to say, if I might have missed a couple, but I'm going to say I've been to many, 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 many of them. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
We had a meet in Vegas. We had a meet in Kansas, Florida, Texas, Wisconsin, of course, Ohio, many times. Boston.
Now, how do they decide where the meets are held?
Okay. Every 4 years, like I said, we're divided in four regions. So every 4 years, like this year's going to be clear out in Oregon. It's the western turn to have them out there.
Okay.
So next year it'll be somebody different, and then, you know, central, eastern, western, and mid something. They call it mid something. I can't remember now, right off the top of my head. But so every 4 years you're supposed to put on a meet.
Okay.
But like I said, the club's getting older, and You need a lot of people to put out a meet. You cannot put out a meet with 10 or 15 people in your club.
Yeah.
And we're all getting older. We can't do what we did, you know, 30 years ago, of course.
Yeah, there's just not enough young people that, like you said, first of all, that can afford to.
And second, if they're going to get a car, they want something to go fast.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
it's not just a matter of affording the vehicle. It's also knowing how to work on it and fix it when something goes wrong.
Exactly.
And storing it, because it's not like you can just store it outside like a regular car.
No.
I mean, how much would you say a Hudson fully restored, like, runs?
Well, it depends upon the year, of course, and how many they made. And I would say probably between $30,000 and $40,000 a piece.
So comparable to a new vehicle now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little less than some vehicles now.
Yeah, right. Because the vehicles today are going for $30,000 without a problem.
Yeah. But still, you know, when there's something wrong with your Hudson, it's not like you can just take it to the
exactly. Joe Blow. They gotta know a little bit something about it.
Yeah. So, do you think that Grandpa, how did Grandpa get into General Motors then? Was it because of his love of cars that he started working at GM?
No. He worked for his dad for a couple of years, and then his dad said, you know, he said, I think maybe you boys should maybe look for something different, because he said, we cannot support all three of us families out of this garage.
Mm-hmm.
And Grandpa put his application in at General Motors, and he got hired, and boy, 32 and a half years later, he retired.
That's bananas to me.
It is.
I'm glad that he found a job doing something that he enjoyed,
Oh, yes.
Being around. Like, he loved being around cars, and He knew a lot about cars too. He was.
Oh. Tell everybody he had a Hudson brain.
He did. He really did. Oh man, I love it so much. I'm so glad that we have. I'm glad that our family had something like this that kind of brought everybody together, and that we, because everybody in our family enjoyed Hudsons. I don't think we have a single person in our family that didn't care about them or, you know, didn't like them.
Right.
So it just makes me happy to know that, because, you know, things have definitely changed over the years, but,
oh, yes, definitely.
You know, being able to say that we all had that connection is pretty cool.
Right.
And Grandpa was pretty cool too, so.
Oh, he was.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the coolest. I hope that by doing this podcast, we can strike up a, I don't know what's the word that I'm looking for, but I'd like to see younger people start attending Hudson meets and seeing what they're really about, and, you know, get involved if they can. Because it's, like I said, it's a dying breed, and it's not going to be too many more years before there's just not going to be a club anymore.
Oh, exactly. I can see that coming in the near future.
How many young people would you say are in the Hudson Car Club, like the local one?
Oh, I would say there's nobody in the local car club less than 55 years old. I think everybody's above that, 55.
Wow.
And most of our Hudson people that's in the car club are retired people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not to put you out there like that, but you're in your 80s. Mm-hmm. And most of the people are right around your age, so.
Many of them. Many of them, yes.
Yeah. And Grandpa would have been, how old would Grandpa have been this year?
I would have been 83, so he would have been 86.
Okay.
In May.
And his brothers, he still has some brothers that are involved in the Hudson Car Club, though, too, correct?
Right. Yep. Fred still has Hudson parts, and so does Elaine, and so does Doris.
Okay.
All three of them still have Hudson parts.
Do they still have cars?
Doris has got a car, Fred's got a car, and Elaine's got, I think she still has one Hudson left.
Okay.
Elaine sold most of her Hudsons.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of work to take care of them. And
it is.
And like I said, store them. And I mean, once you get to be a certain age, it's just not that easy to do it anymore.
Well, when it's more work than it is pleasure, that's what you have to say. You know what? I can't do this anymore.
That's true, too. Yeah.
When it's more work than fun, you say, you know, I can't do it.
Right. Was there anything else that you want to share about your time with Grandpa and his Hudsons?
Oh, you know, he just gave us, all of us, the most wonderful life. I mean, he was a gem.
Yeah. Not much more can be said about Grandpa, that's for sure.
And I think if anybody who met him thought he was a great person, a great man, you know?
He definitely was the type of person to give you the shirt off of his back.
Oh, like in a second he would have.
Yeah. Yeah. He and I had a straining relationship, you know, when I was a teenager. I was not a good teenager. I was pretty awful. And I see that now, and I regret my behavior, but he still loved me, and he still liked me, and that was cool, because he could have walked away at any time, and he never gave up on me, and he never gave up on anybody else in his life. So,
oh God, oh no, no.
So he was a good guy. He was the best. So, all right. So the Hudson meet, you said, is in June.
June 2nd. The 4th.
Okay, and that's going to be in Frankenmuth.
In Frankenmuth, it's behind the Bavarian, back by the Bavarian Inn at the Motel Park.
Okay. Does it cost anything to attend?
No, you can walk through it. It's free.
Perfect. Well, I know where I'm going to be in June, because I wouldn't miss it. I was so excited to go when they had it in Ipsy a couple years ago.
Right.
And it's just so much fun. And that's where the kids and I all got to ride in that. I wish I could remember what you... That's what I thought it was an 09.
The first Hudson.
Yep. Yep, that's what I thought it was an 09, but I couldn't remember for sure, but I knew it was like early 1900s. So yeah, it's a cool experience to come. So if you're out and about in Frankenmuth, June 2nd through the 4th, you should definitely stop out and check out the cars and talk to some people. And, you know, if you're interested in joining the Hudson Car Clubs, then that would be a great opportunity to talk to somebody about how you go about doing that. So,
because there'll be forms up there to sign if you want to.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, thank you, Grandma. I appreciate you chatting with me today and telling a little bit more about your story with Grandpa and his Hudsons and the different things that you guys got to do.
We were very, I consider myself a very, very fortunate person, Angie.
I agree, Graham. Absolutely. And we're very fortunate, you know, all of us that are, that share the Amen last name are real fortunate as well. So,
good.
You know, we, there's not a way that we could thank you and Grandpa enough for all of the things that you did for all of us and, all the memories that we have. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome. Well, that's the show then. We're going to wrap it up. If you guys have a Hudson story that you'd like to share, you can email me at greatlakesconfidential@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at Great Lakes Confidential. And if you want to stop by the Hudson meet in June and say hi to Grandma and I, we will be there.
Sounds good to me, by golly.
All righty. I'll talk to you soon, Grandma. Love you.
Okay, take care. Love you too, babes. Bye now.
Bye-bye.